Welcome to the You Got This podcast, featuring authors Donnie and Sandy. We invite you to settle in, open your hearts and minds, and be inspired to trust and present hope in the Lord. When you allow Him to lead the way, you got this.
Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome episode of You Got This with your hosts Sandy and Donnie from Your New Life Ministries. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 5, Growing in Perseverance and Endurance. This episode is brought to you about my wife's wonderful sermon called It's a Setup. It's about persevering through trials, growing in your spirit, teaching, drawing in perseverance. Thing is not far apart. So instilling triumph through despair and misery. All this is about growing in the wonderful gifts of God. It may be hard, and maybe you may not want to do it, but God's got a plan, and He's going to teach you how to do it through trials. You just got to stick through it, because not all trials are easy. But you should be honored that God's going to put you in a trial, because it's going to teach you things. You're going to learn things you never thought you'd learn before. And that's what this sermon's about. So we hope you enjoy it and take a listen and tell us what you think about it. All right, thank you. We're going to continue on.
To my sister. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, everybody. And good morning. And are you ready for a word? And so, like for everybody too, if you have to leave, if only if it's for emergency, and please silence your phones. So, are you ready for a word today? I was thrilled when Pastor asked me to bring the word today, because when God gives me a word, it's always to me first. And when I'm going through my moments of despair and discouraging, He always tells me, teach thyself. Gives me that sweet little slap on the hand, teach thyself. And so, yes, if y'all were here and heard my testimony, this message is appropriate for it. It's like, okay, God felt like He was telling me what's in this verse today. Because I've been through it, 20 years of abuse through my ex-husband. He was an alcoholic and a drug addict. I almost tried to commit suicide. My youngest son was killed, and my oldest son has had his share of troubles. God has never lost sight of him or me, and He's turned it around. See, it was for a purpose. So today's message title is called, It's a Setup. It's a setup. You thought you were just going through troubles, but it's a setup. It's a setup. So before I bring the word, I'd like to just offer a word of prayer to bring the Lord into my mouth, so to speak, to give Him glory and to edify y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this chance to minister. I thank You for this chance to bring the word that You've given me. And I pray, open every ear to hear and every heart and mind to know and understand. And Lord, help them to receive the word that they need to hear, specific for their circumstances. And I give You all the glory. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, everyone goes through trials and no one's exempt, unfortunately. But we all go through them, and they're for different reasons. And sometimes if you've been through a long and arduous trial like I had been, you begin to wonder, God, did I do something? You know, I'm a little confused here. Lord, you know, maybe You forgot me. And as my cousin used to say, and I've kind of adopted this at times, she said, you know, God has His timing. We have ours. We'd like it to be, hey, like we're popping something in a microwave, 2 minutes, please. But it doesn't work that way. And she used to say, God, I know You have Your timing, but I have mine. So can we close the gap just a little bit? So God has His purpose, and the trials that we go through are for different reasons. It's a setup. Sometimes it's for our own bad choices, free will. Sometimes it's for sin in our life that He wants to expose and get out. because it's going to hinder our path and alienate us from him. Colossians 1:21 says, sin alienates you from God. God never leaves us or forsake us. We leave him when we sin. And sometimes it's for the free will of somebody else's, and you're on the opposite end of their free will to your disadvantage. Sometimes it's trials, just what's common to man, and sometimes God's trying to bring a powerful purpose out of you. Sometimes he's trying to give you a message. And there are things that you can do, and we're going to talk about them all. So if you turn to 1 Chronicles 14, verses 1 and 2. And you know, the songs were kind of perfect, Elijah, for this message. And for the purpose of we're moving the church. For this particular verse, I thought about that. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David along with cedar logs, stonemasons, and carpenters to build him a palace. And David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and that his kingdom had been highly exalted for the sake of the people of Israel. God had established him. David knew. You know God is in it when he brings the supplies to you. David didn't ask. It's that he brought them to him. David didn't ask him. And you know, God can speak to anybody, anywhere, any place. He spoke through a donkey. Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. See, some people take that to mean that God wants to give you all the desires and the wants that you have. Well, every good father wants to do that. I tend to believe that God places his God desires in your heart so he can fulfill it and work it through you. And then he also says in Isaiah 30, verse 30, he said, the Lord will cause people to hear his majestic voice and make them see his arm coming down with raging fire, raging anger and consuming fire, with cloudburst, thunderstorm, and hail. That means God will cause anybody, anywhere to hear his voice. That said, that verse says he causes people. It didn't say he causes righteous people only. It says he causes people. That means he can speak to anyone, anywhere, any place, anyhow he chooses, because he's God Almighty, El Shaddai. And so he will do it. And so everyone say it's a setup. If you're going through a trial, it's a setup. And we're going to talk about three things: the call, the path, or the trial, and the destiny and the fulfillment. God will provide. He will provide different people, places, things. He will speak through various sources to lead you to call you. In John, it says, how can they come unless they are called, unless they are drawn? God will draw you to himself, like courting. And he will speak to you. Because he says he wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He didn't want to leave out on anyone. And so if you ever wonder, why is this person getting away with so very much? That's because God is waiting for them to come to the end of their self. And he says that, I think it's in 2 Peter 3:19. He says he's not slow, as some understand slowness, but he's patient, wanting all men to come to repentance and to the knowledge of the truth. And so I get it, because sometimes when I'm having my little temper tantrums, I can hear the Holy Spirit say, are you done yet? Now I'll speak to you. And so he speaks gently, and sometimes I'd rather have that little tap on the wrist than have to go through a heavy trial, you know? And so it's better to ask him, God, what are you trying to teach me? Because you know, when you go through trials and all you're doing is complaining with a bad attitude, as Joyce Meyer says, if you complain, you remain. And so we don't want to remain in their trial any longer than we have to. And so, yes, he's going to provide. He's going to provide two things. Number one, he's going to provide what you need for, number one, your spiritual house. That's your personal relationship. Number two, your physical house. That's your personal needs. And number three, your ministerial house. That is your purpose. Everyone has a purpose in Christ. Then he will provide divine interventions. He will lead you to maybe move to a new state, like I moved here from Texas, or maybe to a new job or to a new city. But he will move you in a new direction that has to do with that path. He says in Isaiah 42, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known, along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. And so sometimes you're not going to know, but sometimes he just wants you to blindly follow him. You know, have y'all ever seen people do that exercise of trust where someone's standing behind the other one and you're supposed to fall back and trust that they're going to catch you? God's wanting you to do that with him, you know? And so the very first call is the most important one, and that's salvation. So he's going to draw you to himself. He's going to draw you to himself, first of all, to be saved and come to the family of God. Because all these other needs, you know, my dad didn't provide for the children down the street when I was growing up. He didn't provide for their food, their housing, their clothing, their health needs, because they weren't his children. While God may, if he wants to, he's God, he can do anything he wants. But, you know, we're not his children unless we first come through the Son. Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So first you got to be a part of the family of God. So the very first important call is your salvation. Your salvation. And so, you know, everyone has a purpose, but first you got to get to the family of God. And so as I'm looking up in this verse, and sometimes when I'm going through and I'm looking things up to study the Word of God, he'll cause me to go deeper. And if you rush through the Word, like going through a path that has gems along the way, if you run through that path, you're not going to find the treasures God places in the pathway. You have to go slowly. Just like they say to chew your food, it's better to do it slowly. You can digest it better. So why rush through the Word? Chew on it slowly and study it. And so I have found in two different places of the Bible, the word peace can mean two different things. In the Old Testament, you take things from the Hebrew, in the New Testament, from the Greek translation. And there's so many free sources out there. If you don't do that, next time you're reading in your Bible and the Holy Spirit nudges you, do that. I use BibleHub.com. It's a free resource. They give you definitions. They give you commentaries, parallels. You can look up a single verse and you'll get every translation. And it adds to your study time. But it also gives you can look for the Hebrew or the Greek translation. And so he taught me to do this as he gave me one of my books to write, Hannah from Bearing the Blossom. And I wasn't intending on writing a book with this. I was just reading 1 Samuel. And I stopped at verse 5, first chapter. I couldn't get past the part, Elkanah was married to Hannah and Peninnah. Okay, there was his first mistake right there, two women. But then he said he loved Hannah and he gave her a double portion, yet the Lord closed her womb. That's what I couldn't get past. Because if he loved her enough to give her a double portion, then means that she must have had a kind, gentle, sweet, loving spirit to love her so much. But then yet it says the Lord closed her womb. And so that's what I couldn't get past. So then what did she do? It's a setup. It's a setup, because sometimes you're not in the trial because you did something wrong. Sometimes it's not because of that. You see, as I went and I looked, it's like, I'm going to look up the word closed. Okay. It was very interesting. It comes from the Hebrew word sagar, and it means to deliver, to shut the door. Oh, my goodness. And it even means pure. What does that remind you of? Shutting your door on your old life, closing the door on your old life and coming to the Lord who you can receive purity through the Holy Spirit. I thought, oh, but that still wasn't it. Lord God told me, go deeper. And then I got it, because I can identify with this going through the many years I went through with my ex-husband. God has turned my life around. Persevere, because it's a setup. He's totally turned my life around. me and my husband, we have a podcast. He brought me someone who treats me like a princess. I've published over 34 books, working on two more. I just interviewed one of the directors from Teen Challenge who I work for remotely. And she's a licensed counselor, and she just wrote a book called The Storm Whisperer based on the Book of John and mental wholeness. God totally turned my life around from what it was. The enemy was trying to make me feel worthless, and he was trying to make me want to kill myself. He was trying to take me out. Every year on my birthday, my ex-husband showed up drunk and made a scene. God has totally turned my life around. He just give him a chance and persevere. Give him a chance. Persevere. Don't give up. Because he will turn your life around. And so as I looked into Hannah, it's like, I get it. Because if he had given her a child all along, she wouldn't have been so desperate to dedicate her firstborn child to the Lord's service. And so out of that, we get Samuel, a priest, a prophet, the first to anoint kings, and the last of the judges. What is God going to do with us if we just give him the chance and stop complaining and ask him, God, what are you trying to teach me? If God's given you a promise, he will be faithful to complete it. Psalm 145:13 says he is faithful to all his promises and he is loving toward all he has made. So I looked up the word and the definition of cedar. And I found some interesting things. It said that cedar was known for their longevity and their resistance to decay. Psalm 16:10. Who does that remind you of? You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. That's Jesus Christ. They also symbolize spiritual perfection and excellence in spiritual stature. And that speaks Jesus. So as I looked up cedar, it says scarlet oppressor. Oh my goodness. That also speaks Jesus. The blood of Christ and the oppressor, his death on the cross, which led to his resurrection. See, God is also saying in here, in this passage, that he's foreshadowing Jesus Christ, that he is going to bring salvation to us. Matthew 6:10, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. He brought his kingdom to us through Jesus Christ. He did all the work, and all we have to do is just believe. Repent and receive. He did all the hard work. And we get the blessing of it. It's just that easy. Romans 10:9-10. Says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. It says that it is free with your heart that you believe and are justified in your mouth that you confess and are saved. And as I said before, you have to be part of the family. So then you become part of the family. And God notates this in John 1:12. He says, yet who all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, they are given the right to become children of God. Can you just fathom that? God Almighty, who created the world and us through his spoken word, Jesus Christ. He is the Word who became flesh. And he wants us as a family. And not only that, he wants to speak to each of us individually and have a personal relationship with us. Who would not want that? Who would not want that? And he, as he said to Moses, he says, I am that I am. That means he is the self-existent one. He is omnipresent. And he is also whatever we need. He's got so many different names because whatever you need, that's who he is to you. And then sometimes all we have to do is call on Big Daddy God, El Shaddai, and just duck because he's going to stand up right behind us and he's going to take over and he's got our back because he says he will never fail us or forsake us. So who would not want that? It's just that easy. So then the next call is your purpose. And you know everyone has a purpose. And it's not just you start on the path to your purpose when you're born again. But everyone's born with a purpose when you were born into this world. Ephesians 2:10. It says that we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God had prepared for us in advance. You see, he knew us. As Psalm 139 says, when we were in our mother's womb, he knew us and he already had a plan. And he already knows the words we're going to say even before we say it. So nothing we say or nothing we do is not new to him. He's not, when we make a mistake, what you do now? It's not a surprise to him because he's already got a plan to get us back on the path. We have a purpose and we have a plan because of Jesus Christ, because of our relationship with him. And when you have a trial, just trust God to it. You know, in Texas, I used to be, before I started work for Teen Challenge, I used to work for a construction company as an office manager. And my boss there had this little saying up on the wall, this picture that said, if you're going through a trial, consider yourself blessed. God trusts you to get through it. And then there's a caption beneath that said, sometimes I wish God didn't trust me so much. Don't you feel like that sometimes? But in James 1:2-4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be complete, mature and complete and not lacking anything. God wants to make sure you have what you need, because like taking a cake out of the oven before it's done, it's going to fall flat. God doesn't want you to do that when you're on your trials. He doesn't want you to fall flat. He wants you to make it through. He says in Psalm 60:12 that with God we will gain the victory and he will trample down our enemies. So we have to be with him. We can't leave the path. We leave, he doesn't leave. So that's the next part, the path, the trial. So David, he didn't ask for this king to send him these cedar logs. And he knew God had established him, but guess what? He had been through so much. From the time Saul got jealous to the time he died, it was about 15 years. And from the time he was anointed as king to the time he actually became king, it was about 32 years. In Luke 3:23, it says that Jesus was 30 years old when he came into his kingdom. You see, he was born in the flesh here so he could be a merciful and faithful high priest, so he could understand us and our weaknesses. And so he had to go through life. He just wasn't born and just become into his ministry. He had to grow and learn so he could identify with us. And even he was tested. He was tested in the desert. And what did he use against Satan? He used the word of God. And you got to know the word of God. And you just can't just trust it from somebody else, because guess what? They can get it wrong. Because if you read that passage, he took a passage out of Psalm 91 and he left something out. Satan will twist the word of God to fit his own circumstance. And if you are not well equipped with the word of God and you don't know it, you can be deceived, because that's what he is. He's a deceiver and he's a liar and the father of lies. So you have to know the word for yourself. God has given us everything he needs in the word, instructions and promises, and his character to know who he is. And that's how you know who he is, by spending time with him and reading the word of God. And so David had a lot to learn. And so there are different things that depend on the length of your trial, your purpose for one, and what you need to learn. David was young. He was a teenager when he was anointed. But he had to learn obedience. He had to learn integrity and humility. He had to be in that mature spot so he could handle the position God was about to bestow on him. You wouldn't hand your keys to a 5-year-old. They're not equipped to drive a car at that age. But he passed the test. And several times he had the opportunity to kill Saul, but he said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. Do you know if we're a child of God, we are all his anointed? And how many times with our thoughts and with our words did we touch the Lord's anointed? That it also says in the word of God that we're to consider others better than ourselves. And we're supposed to love one another as he loved us. So that doesn't mean having judgmental thoughts. You may not be speaking them, but God can hear them still. So we're all the Lord's anointed, and David passed that test. Then there was Joseph. Oh my goodness. He had a lot of maturing to do. Yes, he was 17 years old when God gave him two dreams. He says that he makes known the end from the beginning and what is yet to come. My purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. Isaiah 46:10. I like that because that gives me hope sometimes that God, as long as I don't give up on God, he's going to fulfill his purpose through me. And so he does that so we can have hope to make it through our trial. But no, God promised me this and he's faithful to his promises. So I'm going to keep going because God's going to get me through to the destiny he's put in my heart. And so what you need to learn, Joseph had a lot to learn. His brothers were already jealous of him. And he had the audacity to tell them, hey, I had this dream. I'm going to lord over you one day. Tell me how ignorant that was. And then he did it again. Oh, my goodness. And it said in there that they hated him all the more. And then one day, his father sent him to check on his brothers. They were supposed to be in Shechem, but they weren't. They were not in the place they were supposed to be. You see, when you're not in the place you were supposed to be, up under the wings of the Almighty and obeying him, you may fall under the temptations of Satan. They were not in the place that they were supposed to be. And guess what happened? They had minds. They wanted to kill him. But then here comes Reuben. His name means, behold a son. No, Joseph was God's child and he had a purpose. So they threw him into a pit. So then you know when you got a little humbling that needs to be done, that pit can do it. That pit can humble you a little bit. So if you've ever been thrown in one, I'm sure you can identify. It's a setup. And so here comes along, after he's probably been humbled a little bit, Judah, the backup Reuben. Judah, whose name means praise. So you got to know that he was probably exalting God a little bit. And so he got sold into slavery instead of killed. But then he was accused wrongly and thrown into prison. And this is where there was the beginning of him leading to his purpose. And you may ask, prison? How can that be? How can that be? Yes, it was. It was a setup. Because in that prison, his two cellmates had a dream and he interpreted them correctly. And when the cupbearer got restored to his position, Joseph said, well, when you get restored, remember me. But he didn't. I think about 2 years went by. And then Pharaoh had a dream and no one could interpret it. And then he goes, oh, yes, I forgot. But he says, I know someone, Joseph. And he's still in your prison cell, right? But he interpreted our dreams correctly. And so they pulled him out of jail. And now he's on the way to the final spot of his destiny. And they changed his clothes. Do you know that God doesn't see us anymore when we come to him to receive his son as Lord and Savior? He sees us clothed in his righteousness. We don't have to do anything special. We just have to believe, receive, and repent, right? It doesn't mean you have to become a preacher or a worship leader or a Bible study. You can if you want. But you don't have to change your position in life and the job that you're doing. It just means you have an eternal home in heaven. And you have someone to look out after you and walk with you all the days of your life and love you and comfort you. Who would not want that? So God sees us clothed in the robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness, our Jehovah Sea Canoe. And he sees us pure and clothed in his righteousness, in right standing before God through the work on the cross. You see, Joseph's purpose wasn't just to be there and interpret that dream. He had two dreams. One meant that they were going to have 7 years of plenty. The other one, 7 years of famine. And then God, every good and perfect gift comes from above. All wisdom comes from above, if it says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously. And so he gave him that wisdom and that discernment to interpret that dream. And he told him what it meant. But then he also gave him the wisdom to know what to do about it. That they would save back from everybody's harvest, so in the years of famine, everyone would have some. And everybody from all around came to get grain, including Joseph's family. And at first they didn't recognize him. I think Joseph had a little bit of fun with him. But, I mean, of course, you know, he's still young. But then when they got scared, when he revealed himself, and I'm paraphrasing this a little bit, but he says, hey, just chill, don't be afraid. Because I'm here for this very purpose and this very reason. It was a setup. He's got a purpose. Are you going through a long trial? Because guess what? There's a purpose for it. God is a loving God, or he wouldn't have sent Jesus Christ to die on that cross, the painful death that he did. Read Isaiah 52, 14 and 15, and it says he was marred beyond human likeness. And if you've seen what they used to beat him with, leather straps with rocks at the end of it, and they beat him over and over again, and he was bloody and whelped, then I'm sure he was weary from all of that. And then he had to carry a 300-pound cross up the hill to Golgotha. But even he had help along the way, so he understands when we need help. If he would not love us that much, how will he not also, the Bible says, give us all things? He is there to help you and encourage you and help you along on your path. And so this was actually a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ as well. Because see, two nations were fed, Egypt and Israel. So it wasn't just for the restoration of their family that happened, but two nations were fed, foreshadowing Jesus Christ, the Jews and the Gentiles. As it says in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it's not just for a special people. It's for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. So the next thing that your trial depends on is your humility and to have a teachable spirit. Saul was prideful and disobedient, and his kingdom got ripped from him. Then there's the enemies, the hindrances the enemy put up in front of us to stop us and hinder us on our path. Paul had wanted to go to certain churches at certain times, but was hindered. Daniel, he prayed and was praying for his people. And finally an archangel came through and he said, your prayers were heard from the moment you prayed them, only we were hindered. They were hindered by Satan. And see, God has heard your prayers. He hears every prayer. He sees every tear. And they mean something to his heart. He means something to his heart. And he's got something special planned. I lost my 16-year-old son to a car accident. And because of my husband's alcoholism, we couldn't afford his class ring. And I called, the school said I had to call the factory. That was in the summer. My son died in the school year following. And the principal came up to us at the funeral and handed me his class ring. They said, we bought this for you. God canceled the cancellation order. He had to, because he knew what was going to happen. But not only that, my son was ministered. People were ministered to. They received the Lord. I had two pastors preaching the sermon, and my best friend saying people need the Lord. And she had the voice of an angel. There was standing room only at the church. And my husband's ex-friends, who I know by him, those people had never been in church. How many people have read in Isaiah where it says God's word does not return void. So that was a seed planted in their heart. And then there was kids lined up, knowing my son was a Christian. There were kids lined up outside the counselor's office asking about God and Jesus in heaven. You can speak about Harry Potter, which is about witchcraft, which God is against. But talk about our Lord in school, the one who died for us? No, you can't do that. Well, the principal said, if they're initiating the conversation, you tell them whatever they want to hear. See, something did come of it. And God has even showed me in a dream when my mom was about to die that she was standing outside the gates of heaven, and my son was standing right behind Jesus. And to see him in that state, it gave me peace. And to see the love in the eyes of Jesus Christ, it gave me peace. He wouldn't want to come back here for that. He would say, Mom, get real. I've got it made. I'll see you when you get here. And so God has a purpose and a plan if you'll only persevere and if you'll only obey. Because it's, as it says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, it says that he's training us as soldiers. He is training us so we can go through the battle. Can a soldier fight in a battle if they don't have the armor they need and the weaponry they need? What is our weaponry? Our faith, first of all, in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Also, the word of God. That is our weaponry. So how do we get through it? First of all, is having a relationship. And the next is staying close to God and listening to his voice. The word of God says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So to hear his voice and to know his voice from Satan's, we have to read the Bible. John 14, 26 says, I will remind them those things I have taught them. So he'll remind you, but you first have to read them. He first has to teach you them before he can remind you of them. So listen to his voice. Stay focused on him. Peter got out of the boat and was the only one. At least he got out of the boat when Jesus was walking on the water in the middle of the night. And he says, Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto you. And he did. But he started to sink when he started to look at his circumstances. So when we're looking at our trial and all the things that are making us afraid and worried and depressed, we're going to sink. But he's got mercy. He says his mercies are new every morning. And he reached out his hand and pulled him into the boat. He's not going to beat you over the head. He's going to hold out his hand. He may tell you what you did wrong so you won't do it again. But he is going to show his mercy for you. Listen to his voice and read the word and spend time with him. When Abram was given the promise of his firstborn son at the age of 85, and for the record, at 85, I don't want any children. But, and he was 100 years old when he finally had that child. It was going to take some time. But our impatience can make us try to work it out ourselves. And who knows the wrong mistake Sarah made Abraham do? That was wrong on so many levels. Oh my goodness, please don't get impatient and please listen to the Lord and go to him in prayer first. He's not the last one you should go to. He should be the first one. And so the Bible says Abraham listened to Sarai's voice. He listened to her voice. Whose voice are you listening to as you go through your trials? Are you listening to God's or are you listening to the enemy? Because if you don't spend enough time with him, you will not be able to recognize his voice. With our brothers and our sisters, our friends, our boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, and wives, would we have that relationship with them if we didn't spend any time with them? No. And so you've got to spend time with God daily. You can't just rely on the pastor. You don't just eat on Sundays or special occasions. You will get sick. So why do some people only go to church and only read the Bible when they go to church? We're supposed to read the Bible for ourselves. And there is going to come a time when the enemy is going to so prevail, because it says it's going to get bad, where we're going to need our Bible. When some of the churches around, and they're already getting that way, as Pastor Bernie a few weeks ago preached, that they're going to be seeking what their friendly ears want to hear. And there's going to be churches who are going to presenting them that. So you got to know the word for yourself so you know the lie from the truth. So you got to read the word on your own. And that's the next one, is read the word, John 6:35. He says, I am the bread of life. He is our spiritual food, and if you don't partake of it every day, you're not going to have the strength, the knowledge, the promises, the instruction and directions that you can stand on and pray on to get through your trial. Psalm 138:2 says he exalts his name and his word above all things. So if you don't want your prayers to be tainted by your human emotions, pray the word of God. Make a prayer out of it. I have done that. And a praise report, a charge from 2020 that my son went back to Texas just to get over some stuff. And it was some kind of stupid trumped up charge that they arrested him. And then they found out he got this charge. Well, that other trumped up charge was dismissed. But they had to keep him in jail in Travis County in Austin just so they can find out the truth. And he says, Mom, and he pretty much tells me the truth. Mom, I did it. Yeah. But then, you know, he says, Mom, I didn't do this. And if they go back and look at the cameras, they'll see. And it was a hefty felony. And they did. And he just got out of jail. But he says, Mama, I thank God. Actually, I thank God that I was in jail. Because he had relapsed in drugs and he got off. And he's back walking with the Lord the way he should be. And, you know, he's back walking with the Lord. He writes his prayers out to him. And he has several Bible passages that he prays every morning. About 8 to 10 of them. And he says, thank you. If you're going through a trial, it's a setup. It is a setup. Stay in church. You can fellowship with other believers. Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the fellowshipping with other believers. Because why? You can receive encouragement. You can receive hope. You can receive advice from them and from some of the trials that they may have been through that you're going through now. They can pray for you. They can lift you up. Besides that, you know, you have fellowship activities where you get to know them. We're a family. Then also keep letting the love of God flow through you continually. In Psalm 37:3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good and dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. So on the way to where you need to be, you keep doing good. Then there comes the destiny and the fulfillment. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you faint not. So how, once you get there, what do you do? When you get there, what do you, keep doing that. You keep putting God first, because it is for him and through him and by him. You always give him the glory. It is not for yourself. You keep persevering. You don't give up. You keep putting God first. You keep trusting him. You keep obeying him and listening to him. Listening and obeying kind of go hand in hand. You always show integrity and faithfulness. You be humble. You still continue to be a vessel for the Lord to others. Let the love of God flow through you. We're supposed to be vessels. We're not supposed to hold it in for ourselves. You stay close to God. You stay in prayer. You keep praising him and worshiping him. Because you know, when you're down, all you got to do is open your mouth and speak and start praising God, because the devil's not going to stick around and praise God with you. Raise and praise, it keeps the devil away. And there's some times when I just have to say it over and over, but then it gets to me. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. When I'm going through something, it's really got me upset. And then all of a sudden, the peace comes, because he's the Prince of Peace. And so he'll help you. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so it builds your faith. You keep fellowshipping with other believers. You keep reading your Bible. It's your rod of comfort. So if you're going through a trial, everyone say it's a setup. It's a setup. God's got a special plan for you. So is he speaking to your heart to receive the Lord, or come back to him? Or maybe he's given you a purpose. Well, allow him to teach you. Allow him to correct you. Allow him to fill you daily stay close to him. And do not let the enemy's tactics, do not listen to him. Learn to recognize his voice and what is from him. Every good and perfect gift is from above. So if it's negative, it's not from God. And in 1 Corinthians, it says, do not, that you can train your brain, so to speak. He says you can take captive every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So Satan can hear your mouth, but he cannot read your mind. So if you're scared about something, pray silently to God, because he can hear that. But don't be speaking out that negative trash. I hate, I never, I'm scared of. Because guess what? You're giving Satan ammunition. You're giving him ammunition, and we don't need to help him do his job. He's got enough of his own. And so Proverbs 18:21, it says, the mouth, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth shall endure, there shall be seed time and harvest. So speak those words as a seed. Angels who are ministering spirits, it says in Hebrews, come to serve those who will inherit salvation. Guess what? They're going to take that seed and run with it. And who's going to make it grow? God. Amen. One man plants, one man waters, but it's God who gives the increase. And you got to wait, and you got to persevere, and you got to trust him, because he says he is faithful to all his promises, and he is loving towards all he has made. Thank you.
Hey guys, welcome back. We hope you enjoyed that episode of You Got This with your host Sandy and Donnie. The new updates, we got a few updates coming out of pipeline. One, the princess in the Kingdom of Divulgence is out. We got wonderful reviews. It's been selling pretty good, so thank you for that. We hope you all enjoyed the book. And we got a few more books coming in line. We'll let you know when those are going to be released. And welcome to summertime, because it's finally gotten warm up here where we live. So we're hoping everybody else is enjoying the start of their summer as well. And always remember, you know, God, following Jesus Christ is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart, but it's a wonderful gift. He gives us what we need when we need it. And it's just a wonderful thing knowing that where our final destination is going to be. Because we got to remember, this isn't our home. Our home is in heaven if we choose to be there. So just always remember that. And always remember, you know you got this when you let God lead the way. So I'll catch you later, guys. Bye-bye.